You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Greetings, metaphysicians. This is Let's Get Metaphysical. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci. And I'm so excited to welcome back to the show, Julia Malone. Julia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Ren. Thank you for having me here. It feels great to be here.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for today's topic. We will be discussing power times of the year. And there's different power times in the month that we can use to manifest things that we want to call into our lives, things that we need. We can also use these times to release that which no longer serves. See, we can do these things on a daily basis, but there are certain times of the year when the energy, when the light, when the dark is useful for doing these things and calling them in. So we will be talking about solstices today, equinoxes today, and also moons, new moons and full moons. And my favorite day of the year is the summer solstice, which usually falls on or around June 21st, which is right around the corner here. And that's why I wanted to do this episode now. And I'm so glad Julia is joining me because we both love using these times of the year, times of the month to our advantage. So we are going to do something just now before we get into our discussion. I don't know if I've ever told my listeners this actually, but before I record an interview with somebody or, you know, whoever's there, we center and ground and do a little meditation before I press record so that we are in the best state of mind and connected to our guidance. And Julia suggested, or I suggested, who I think we were both thinking this, why don't we record this live so and share that with our listeners? And it's a brilliant idea. So we will do that.
Sounds great.
If you feel like joining us, we have our feet both firmly on the ground. Our backs are straight. We're gently closing our eyes. And we're just breathing easy here. Feeling the soles of our feet connected to the ground. We invite the soles of our feet to open so that we might breathe in, we might inhale earth energy into our own body, into our own field, through the bottoms of our feet. And we use our inhale to gently bring in this earth energy into our field and up, up, up through our ankles, knees, upper legs and hips, into our bellies, our abdomens, our chest and heart space, through our shoulders, down our arms to our hands, into our throats, and all the way up into the head and mind and out through the crown of the head, connecting to the universal energy above. When we're connected to the earth through our feet and the bottom of our field, and to the universe through the tops of our fields, we are a bridge between the above and the below. And this is a wonderful place to be. When you're connected above, you can get clear guidance, clear insights. And when you're connected below, you can bring those insights into manifestation on this physical earthly plane. Both are so important. Julia, did you have anything to add to this?
Yes, what a beautiful blessing it is to be here right now and to be able to open ourselves up as channels for this divine wisdom that wants to come through, and as a blessing to everyone listening here and helping us to empower ourselves and one another with the ability to connect to nature's rhythm and really align our life force energy, our soul, with that of Earth, as you've mentioned, Ren, and that of higher consciousness and the universe, and really feel that linking and connection to this natural rhythm. And I think that's really going to help us bring through what we're about to bring through right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. That was great.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah. Excellent. This was a brilliant idea to share this with our listeners. This is what I do before each episode, slightly different, you know, but it's a beautiful thing to share. Well, let's start by talking about my favorite day of the year, which is the summer solstice, which is right around the corner here. It usually lands right around June 21st, not always that day, sometimes the 20th, sometimes the 22nd. Why is it my favorite day of the year? I've always felt an excitement since childhood and before I got into the magical stuff, the spirituality stuff. It always felt like an extremely magical thing that it was the longest day of the year. It felt like there was so much that you can do having, you know, all this daylight, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. But it's funny because I was just traveling, as you know, and was in New Zealand where it's the opposite down there. So if it's the summer solstice for us in a couple of days, it's the winter solstice down there, which is, it's really funny for me. I spent an equinox there, and we'll get to equinoxes in a moment, but in my heart, I felt like I was really experiencing both equinoxes at the same time because I had roots still in the Northern Hemisphere and I was physically in the Southern Hemisphere at that time. So it was an interesting thing, but there's a feeling for me of magic around the solstice. And I started doing ritual around the solstice probably within the last 10 years, even before I kind of really knew what to do about it, but I knew that it was a special day and think of it as my favorite day. Do you do anything around the solstices, Julia?
I've just started to recently. So the listeners may remember and from, you know, previous episodes, but I really opened myself up on the spiritual path with plants. And the natural progression from there was to also to pay attention to connecting with the rhythms of nature, which is something that I hadn't done before. And it took me to really go through a different cycle in my life of realizing, feeling out of balance or out of sync, to realize the importance of getting in sync with nature's cycles. Whereas the winter solstice, in being the longest night, kind of the dark night of the soul, and recognizing that, and it's a little bit more obvious when you're further north,
right? Exactly.
Right. And when you're, where, you know, when I'm in Canada, it's something that I can really dive into with the longer days and longer nights. It's a little different down here in Costa Rica because we pretty much were right on every night.
Definitely.
By 6 o'clock, the sun's down all year round.
Yeah. I was just thinking that tonight too, was just noticing like, oh man, it's dark at whatever, 5:30 or 6 here. And even, you know, back in Washington, D.C., right now it's light until maybe just after 9. And so, yeah, the closer you get to the equator, the less light there is.
Yeah, so it's just really been in the last couple of years where I've really paid attention to honoring those times of years and appreciating that time of going inward and in the winter solstice and now in the summer solstice and appreciating the light that's coming through the longer days. And it's almost like a rebirth of the sun.
Yeah.
And that resurrection of the sun.
After the winter solstice.
Yeah.
Because the days start to get longer.
Yeah. So really paying attention to rebirth and opportunities for rebirth. And I pull cards. We'll have a fire, candles, set an intention. And sometimes just creating that space will open up an opportunity for some channeling to come through. And whether it's song or vibration or what may sound like hooting and hollering and different purifications happening through the body at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for me, For me, the energy around the summer solstice is very different than the energy around the winter solstice. For me, you know, it's natural based on what energies they're both bringing through. But even in, when I was younger, I feel like I wanted to spend the summer solstice with people and be in community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now in these past several years, doing ritual with close friends and family and being, you know, together and having a fire, and it feels more festive, let's say, for me. And whereas the winter solstice, it was really interesting, the last several years, there has been a couple winter solstices in a row, not this past year because I finally got the message, but a couple years ago, for maybe 2 or 3 years in a row, I would invite people to come and like do a winter solstice ritual. I was like, all right, guys, it's winter solstice. Like, let's, you know, let's celebrate the dark, you know, and the dark night of the soul. And nobody, for like 2 or 3 years in a row, whenever I was doing that, nobody ended up coming. Mm-hmm. And I finally got the message. Nobody ended up coming when I would invite people. Yeah. And so I finally got the message that, like, for me individually, and I won't speak for everybody, but for me, I needed to be alone and go inwards into that very kind of womb-like energy, the dark, by myself, and to do ritual by myself. And so what I've been doing the last couple of years is definitely lighting a lot of candles. I will pull cards, set intentions, and set myself up to receive any information that might be coming through for me at that time, because it is such a powerful time energetically, so that we get to use to first be aware of when in the year and in the months these power times come, and then we can use them to our advantage, which is part of why I wanted to have an episode about this, so that all of our listeners can use these times to their advantage. Do you see a difference between how you feel between the solstices, the winter and the summer?
I totally agree with you about the winter solstice being more like a time of going inwards. And just naturally, before I was even really putting two and two together, even over the last week, I've been really feeling this call for celebration. I'm pulling cards that are saying, you know, celebrate. And I'm taking myself out and doing more celebratory things. And that makes sense. The, you know, summer solstice is coming. And,
right. And new beginnings.
Yeah, new beginnings.
Summer solstice is about celebrating the light, the sun, you know, the life-giving energy of the sun, and also new beginnings.
And something else that's happening, I feel, in my world, and I feel like this could be for other people as well, is as the light is coming in, this longer stretch of light that's coming in, it's also pushing up and out darkness to come out rapidly, so that we can move more into the celebration and move more into the joy. And so I feel like there's been this push in these last weeks, and as we're approaching the full moon, just a real clearing out of really old programs.
Yeah. Oh, you hear the chirping, people. We can't make the geckos chirp. They do it when they're supposed to.
We're over here squeezing a gecko.
Yeah, I know. We're like, beep, beep, beep. Oh my gosh. That's quite an image. yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, now that you kind of brought this up, there is a lot. It feels like there is a lot going on right now, energetically in the world. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I look, I have friends going through huge transformations, not just baby transformations like we all are kind of going through all the time, but like huge, like leaving jobs, and not just like 9-to-5 jobs, making huge life transformations, or making up or breaking up, or with partners and relationships, and just massive, massive shifts in it. The energy kind of feels like, all right, anything that is old and not working anymore is out.
Mm, yeah.
And I just...
People are done with what's not working.
Yes.
It's time for us to create a world of what is working for us. And
right.
What is working? Like, what does that mean?
What does that look like?
And it's new standards are being created. New standards are being defined. Mm-hmm. And the old standard of not living in bliss, you know, bliss is a birthright. It's something that we're able to live in, and people are waking up to this new standard of greater, more expansive living and more joy.
Absolutely.
More playfulness, more celebration.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. I do want to mention this too, because this is also coming in, is that the summer solstice is effectively, it is the longest day of the year, the longest sunlight of the year. Mm. And then the next day after it, and of course the following days, it gets less and less and less as we move towards the winter solstice. And I just wanted to mention that the winter solstice is also a huge cause for celebration in lots of cultures as the ending of the dark, because every day after that brings more and more light as we move towards the solstice, the summer solstice. Mm. So it's almost like there's different tones of celebration.
Right.
You know, the tone of the celebration for the summer solstice is different than the tone of the celebration for the winter solstice.
Yeah, because this would be a time when most of the farmers would have already planted most of their, you know, the real hard work, that push in the beginning of the year to get everything planted.
Right.
It's done. So it's kind of celebration, like, okay, like some breathing space here, mm-hmm. because what is going to then be growing later in the fall has mm-hmm. been planted.
Yeah, which actually might be a decent segue into equinoxes. Mm-hmm. I just want to share this with our listeners. I like to refer to the solstices as the solstice and the equinoxes as the equini. I don't think that those are actually correct terms, but I like saying them. So if I say them, that's what I mean. But we're talking about the equinoxes or the equini, and they are directly, there's two of them every year, and they're directly between both of the solstices or the solstice. So the spring equinox is typically on or around March 21st, directly between winter and summer solstice, and the fall equinox is on or around September 21st. And what does this mean? The equinoxes are exactly kind of how they sound. They are the balance. They mean equal day and night. The day and the night are equal during both of those times of the year. And I also see these as, and feel these as power points, power times in the year. You know, just that they are balanced by definition in how much day they bring us and how much night they bring us. I feel like it's a really good time to evaluate where you are in terms of your own balance in life. So that's how I kind of see them. And you were just talking about the celebration of having planted the things that you need. And I think around the fall equinox is when a lot of this stuff is popping up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And around the spring equinox is when a lot of the things are being planted, maybe mm-hmm. between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to say or add about equinoxes, or if you've felt anything in the past around those times? I know that I think I've celebrated them for a while now, but I'm not sure if you have.
Yeah, that's been more recent in the last couple of years, but definitely feeling those energies around those times of years, around celebrating the harvest. Probably it's been almost 20 years for me where I've really noticed the harvest festival or the around the equinox has always been for me a time that feels more like New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
That is for me is a real feeling of a new year celebration in that way. And so I've noticed that around the fall equinox.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go into moons.
Yeah, we talked about the suns and the sun cycle.
All the suns.
The sun and the sun cycle.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's moving on a slightly different kind of rotation. Mm-hmm. But then we have the moons, which we are,
we get to experience every month.
That's right.
Several times instead of the four times of the year with the solstice and the equinox.
That's right. We're having our monthly variations with the moon. And what's really amazing is that, you know, the moons are carrying their own energy. So there's a more general understanding of like where the full moon is illuminating what we need to see in our lives and really magnifying it so we can see what needs to be cleared. And then the new moon being a time of seed planting in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Intention setting. For the month or for the next cycle.
Yeah. And then there's actually like looking at the astrological signs those moons are in and how that influences the energy as well.
Right.
And then taking another step further and looking at our own personal chart and what, where our moon is at, or what moon cycle we are in, and our progressive moon in that cycle.
Right.
And going back to talking about connecting with the natural cycles, you know, we are nature. So when we connect ourselves with these natural cycles, we really connect them in our awareness of them and how they're operating, we can start to recognize patterns. Mm-hmm. And we can start to recognize patterns in ourselves, in the flow of nature. And then it kind of prepares us in a way. Because then if something's going on and we're having an experience, we can go, oh yeah, well, this is happening right now. And I'm in this cycle, my progressive moon cycle is this right now. And this is how it's being affected. And, and so it prepares us in a way so that we can interrupt these patterns. So they're not these unconscious patterns that we're playing out. And then we can essentially disrupt karmic patterns by understanding what our, you know, what our...
More chirping.
Understanding what our patterns are that we need to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah. That we're ready to become aware of and move through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it came to mind just now that a lot of people thinking about astrology might be, you know, thinking, well, if I don't believe in it, does it affect me, kind of thing. And moons, I think moons are just proven to have an effect on us, whether we notice them or not. Just because you don't notice where a full moon might be or a new moon might be doesn't mean it's not actually affecting your day-to-day life if you take a look at it. And there is evidence that you ask any emergency room doctor and they'll tell you that there's more people coming into the hospitals during full moons than any other time of the month consistently.
And if you talk to a farmer, you'll know that the best times to cut a plant or not, or depending on how much water is up in that plant. So like, for instance, with bamboo, you don't want to cut bamboo on a full moon because all the water is pulled up into the shaft of the bamboo. Mm. You want to cut it on a new moon or on a, you know, on a waning, is it waning? Mm-hmm. Waning moon, so that the water's down and then you're cutting it and it doesn't rot because you're not cutting it full of water. So it's like there's natural flows of the moons having an effect on water in plants. Mm-hmm. And we are very much
full of water.
Full of water. We're more than half, more than 50% water.
Lots of water.
We're lots of water. Yeah, lots of water.
Yeah.
And so the moon is affecting that in us, as it does the ocean, the tides,
and the animals,
and the animals,
and everything. I mean, it really affects, the moon really affects us, you know, in maybe more subtle ways than the sun does, but they are both so integral to life here on this planet for all living and sentient beings. So understanding a little bit more about how we can use full moons and new moons to our advantages, that's what we're here to speak to a little bit.
Absolutely.
I know that we do very similar new and full moon ritual. What would you say for somebody looking to get the biggest advantage of, say, a new moon?
Okay. Well, for a new moon, I would say, can I talk about the full moon first?
Because that's just, let's do the full moon first. Full moon, everybody.
All right, full moon. Because that's just what's coming up for me right now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure.
The way that I experience this is I have an experience with a full moon where it brings this awareness to what needs to shift. There's a ritual that I will do around a full moon to be able to help to illuminate. And I do that using oracle cards. I pull cards and I meditate, and self-care. Self-care becomes a really big number one priority, especially around full moons.
Oh, wow. We are having a lot of chirping. I hope y'all can hear this. I'm sure they can because it is loud.
And I can tell you even right now, here we are, we're going to be on a full moon in a few days from now. What's today? The 12th. So we have one on the 17th.
Yeah.
So, you know, about 5 days we're going to have, and I am feeling that call to ground with the earth, connect with nature, self-care.
Right.
Be gentle. Don't push through too hard on things, work things or project. Just relax. Listen to the natural cycle of the body.
Right.
Then it gives a chance for what needs to come up to be cleared, to come up and create that awareness around it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And that helps me prepare for the new moon.
Yeah.
And what seeds I'm going to be planting in my new moon. Maybe something's been illuminated for me in the full moon. You know, I'll be setting the intention for assistance and helping to cleanse that out. The new moon is a great time for cleansing, for detoxes, for doing liver detoxes, body detoxes, mind detoxes, and then really cleaning that soil bed to plant those seeds in and set those intentions for the next cycle until the full moon.
Right. Right. And sometimes, you know, people have never done rituals before. They may be thinking, what kind of intentions am I setting? You know, they could be different every month according to your needs. Or I know that I've gone full years having some of the same intentions every single month and then amplify those on the solstice and the equinox to great results. I'll give an example. In 2017 and 18, I was really focused on having an intention to release any and all limitations placed by myself or by others, by culture, by society. And I didn't necessarily know how this would manifest, but I knew I was done with limitations. I didn't want to feel limited. I didn't want to feel boxed in. There were some rotating intentions, but that was one that stayed the same throughout the year, probably for a whole year and a half. And I can say that sometime in 2018, right around this time last year, maybe May, right around when I did my first plant medicine ceremony with Iboga, actually, is when I really saw the results of setting that intention over and over and over again. And I began to see that really there were no limitations to what I think is possible. And this was mostly for myself. This was a personal thing. Things that, for example, I don't know, like, so there's so many things. Like, I never thought that I could do comedy, and now I've done stand-up, and I'm kind of getting
You're
into
great
it.
At it. You're really great at it.
I'm getting into it. And, like, you know, as another kind of funny example is, like, I love helicopters, I realized recently. But then the past 4 months while I was traveling, I was on my first helicopter and then another one after that. And I want to be a helicopter pilot. I want to learn how to fly a helicopter. And I think my point with this is that I didn't believe that I could do those things at all before. Like, it wouldn't have even entered my mind that I could do those things. So
now you're choosing them. You're like, okay.
Now I'm choosing them.
I want to stand-up comedy.
I want to do it.
I'm choosing to become a helicopter pilot.
Yeah. And, you know, well, if this podcast is going in 10 years, we'll check back and make sure that I have moved forward with any of those things. But yeah, for our listeners, you know, you can set any intentions you want, whatever is pertinent in your life.
Yeah. I mean, those are things that you've intended for and you have done, the comedy and the helicopter.
That was new though. Mm-hmm. Those were all new.
Yeah. There's are actually things that you've really, you know, done that you had, you know, ever entered your mind before.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, spending more time in Costa Rica, even something that was never even really a thought.
Right.
So really busting the limitations off of, yeah, a lot of old beliefs.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. And even bigger things, like things that I never, yeah. Well, now we're getting into talk about, about one specific intention. We don't have to do that. Yeah. But
yeah. I mean, what I love to do is ask questions. Like, I'll have a question that I'll write down and it'll be something like, what do I need to see in my life right now that's holding me back from living the life that I choose? Show me that resistance, or show me that block, or what do I need to shift? So asking and formulating really good questions have been really helpful. Our questions lead to intentions, intentions lead to questions.
Right.
And it's a way to fine tune that intention and ask questions and get very specific answers back to help you to move in more into that vibration that you're asking to move into.
Right. Right. And I like to leave space, particularly on full moons, but with it being fully illuminated, to ask a question or two as part of my ritual and then sit silently and listen for any guidance on that topic because of the illumination.
Absolutely. And fire really helps to illuminate that as well, too, because it stimulates the alpha, the waves in the brain and everything. If you light a fire, you go out under a moon and have a fire, and what that does to bring illumination to the answer.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful experience.
I love fire. I don't know if it's because I'm a fire sign or what. I just love even just staring at it, being around it. And I feel like a lot of guidance comes in with either candles or with full on fires.
These are all codes. They're really codes, you know, using a certain time of year, a certain time during a moon with the fire. You know, these are all codes of alignment to help us to activate, to supercharge our intention or what we're asking for. And so that's really what the ritual is really showing up and setting something up to be like, hey, I'm serious here. I really am looking for this answer. And I'm so serious that I'm lighting fire. I'm out here at this certain time.
Right.
And it's setting your intention to the universe about how serious you really are about wanting that answer.
And it's bringing more energy to everything that you're asking for just by creating ritual around it. That might be a very earth thing to do, right? Is create a ritual. But what you're doing is you're drawing more energy into yourself, and the universe can be like, oh, wow, look, there's a thing going on here. Mm-hmm. There's energy towards this. Let me help with that.
Exactly. Dancing.
Yeah.
Singing. Yeah.
You can see instruments, you know, drumming, and you can see why folks throughout the ages have used all these things to...
In traditional ceremonies, of course. Yeah, exactly. It makes sense. And now we're at such a time of such a vibration on the planet. It really doesn't take much. Showing up, having that faith, showing up and using these tools, these times, these, you know, fire, these different sage, it doesn't really take much to just showing up and using those codes. You can really get what you're looking for. So I really encourage anyone who's listening to this, if they have something they really want to call into their life or something they're ready to release, take the time to get your journal out, write it down, and make a fire. Maybe you can't have a fire in the city. Light a candle.
Play some music. Do some dances. You know what? We're talking about this, and I don't really dance or add music into my rituals. And you should absolutely do that for summer solstice, especially.
Absolutely.
In anything. So that's something that I'm going to bring in.
Right.
I mean, that's
highly recommend it.
So what Julia and I are going to do, we're going to end this episode now, but for those of you who are interested in the bonus content for this episode, we are going to continue this conversation and tell you about a specific summer solstice ritual that y'all can do if you are interested. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, you can become a patron of the podcast on Patreon. Let's Get Meta has a Patreon account, and for $2 a month, you can be part and have access to all of our bonus content. That's comes down to about $1 an episode if you want to help us continue the show. So we will have that special solstice ritual there on the bonus content for this episode. So.
Yeah, it's a beautiful activation, just even in listening to what's gone into that ceremony. That's going to be really helpful to you as a listener here to be able to activate yourself in your own ceremony. So yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So Julia, before we say goodbye,
yes,
you're doing lots of things right now. If you want to share anything with our listeners about what's coming down the pike for you, I know that there's a lot of really exciting things happening for you that feel free to share.
Well, yeah, I'm working on a nature-inspired platform and community online. It's called Afterplant, and it's helping people
That chirping is on point today. Thanks, Costa Rica.
It's helping people to integrate their plant medicine experiences. If any of you listeners out there that have had an awakening with a plant medicine and you're looking for support in integrating it, because when we go to these teacher plants, we get
lessons, and then there's tests that come in life. And so After Plan is kind of like the school that prepares you for those tests that are coming. And so on there, that's where you can find deep content in going into connecting with nature's rhythms as a next step after taking a plant medicine. And that won't be coming up for another couple of months from now. And then on that platform there, we have an awakening integration program happening September 6th, and it's going to run through October 28th. And so people can go to afterplant.com and sign up there if they're interested in more information. For more information. Yeah. Great. Thanks for letting me plug that.
Oh, yeah, of course. And honestly, yeah. Listeners, we will probably be having an episode more about awakening integration and potentially After Plant itself in the coming months as well, because it's going to help a lot of people. It's going to be a really fantastic platform.
Thank you.
For folks. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you, for
Julia.
Having me.
I love our conversations. So. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening, all you metaphysicians out there. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is entirely listener supported. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Let's Get Meta is a production of the HANA Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniachi. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.